Hi, my name's Gabby. We are in week 2 of a 5-week sermon series, and it's The Tempest, meaning a violent storm. And this is God's mercy and how deep his mercy goes for us. So for those of you who don't know me, I've been coming here since 2014. So for a moment, I want you to picture yourself on a boat, getting thrown off of a boat, and a big fish, say a whale, coming and swallowing you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for Maywood. I thank you for everybody here, and I thank you for this opportunity. And please, Lord, help me. Amen. Yeah. All right. So last week, Brianna did a great job, and she talked about how Jonah ran away from God because he didn't want to preach to the Ninevites. And so we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 17. So if everybody would like to turn there. This is what happens when you run away from God. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am of Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told them. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" Jonah said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will be calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the man greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights. So just like Jonah, I too was running from God, but I just didn't know it. And what you would think, getting thrown over a ship, you would think would be one's death, someone would die, actually ended up being someone's life, and God ended up using for his glory, because God ends up saving Jonah out of that. So I'm just going to share a little bit of my story and my testimony, and if there's any children in here, I'm just trying to look at the room. This is PG-13, so. By the age of 12 years old, I think everybody in my family knew that I was going to be an addict because I used to huff gas until I passed out. And by the age of 12, I burnt my house down huffing gas. And that was the first time I got put into a psychiatric hospital. And so in the verses, it says, Jonah went below deck and fell into a deep sleep. And I think Jonah didn't want to feel anymore. And so how I lived my life is I would put myself into a drug-induced coma because I didn't want to feel anymore. By the age of 14, I was homeless. I became an IV drug user at the age of 14. I was put into a place called Crittenton. Maybe some of you know what Crittenton is. Maybe some of you have been there. No, I'm just kidding. So I was locked up in Crittenton for 2 years. After a year, I was able to start going to outside school. So I went to Ruskin High School for a year. And go Ruskin! No. But out of the whole 2 years, I had one visitor, and my mom came and visited me one time in the whole 2 years that I was there. And so at this time, I just felt like, throw me overboard. Like, I give up. I don't care about my life. I don't matter. I just lived my life in the most selfish way. I think that was a way that Jonah was most selfish. Like, this is the way. I don't have to go see the Ninevites. Just throw me overboard. I don't have to go preach to them. I can just die, you know? So when I got out of Crittenton, I moved in with my mom, and I did good for a while. And I was able to graduate high school probably because I got locked up. But once I was in high school, I started partying again and stuff like that. And then for the next 6 years, I racked up 13 warrants. And, you know, I got to a place in my life where I was living off Independence Avenue in a homeless shelter. I was ate up by bed bug bites. Anybody know what bed bugs are? So you guys are following where I'm going with this, I think. And I got so sick in this homeless shelter that they had to call an ambulance. So I got so sick in my addiction that I was sick when I was using and I was sick when I wasn't using. They had to call an ambulance, and they sent me to Truman Hospital, and they said, "Miss Cullen, you're dying from liver failure." And I was only 23 years old at the time, and I thought, how could I be dying from liver failure? So I was in the ICU for 7 days for liver failure. And Pastor Bob of Maywood Baptist came up to the hospital and prayed with my mom. And it says in James 5:16, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. And he didn't come in my room because I wasn't the nicest patient, but he came up there and prayed with my mom. And then he came back to Maywood Baptist, and he had the whole church pray for me. And I don't believe that God saved me because I deserve it. I believe that God saved me because of the prayers from Maywood. So I just want you to know today, if anybody's sitting in here, it's because someone was praying for you. And I wish I could say that I left the ICU and things just changed for me, but that's not what happened. I ended up leaving the ICU, and I was in the belly of the whale. It was where I hit my rock bottom. I couldn't go back to that homeless shelter because they found a bunch of paraphernalia, and so I lost everything, which I had lost everything many times before. But I had nowhere to turn. I was getting sick all the time. I was living in hotel rooms. I was sleeping in cars. I was, you know, it was November time, and I thought to myself, there's no way that I'm going to get through winter just being out here on the streets. And so I went to treatment for the 15th time. When I went to treatment, they told me there's this thing called the Vivitrol shot. And they said, but we can't give it to you because your liver is bad. It does affect your liver. And so if you stay here for 2 weeks, we can retest your blood and see if we can give it to you. And so I stayed in treatment for 2 weeks. And I remember sweating and having to change my shirt in the middle of the day because of the cold sweats. And I went back to the hospital there. The nurse drew my blood. She left the room, and I remember I hit my knees in that moment for the first time ever in my whole entire life. And my prayer kind of went like this. God, I don't know if you're real, but if you are, if you can help me get this Vivitrol shot, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And when the nurse came back in the room, she said, your liver enzymes are completely normal and it never looked like you were in liver failure. And so, and I just felt like God heard me crying in that moment. It was the first time I ever prayed in my whole entire life. And I think God healed me at that very moment. So it says in Matthew 16:25, she who tries to save her life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will live forever. So when I told God that I would serve him for the rest of my life, I did exactly that. And in treatment, I stopped smoking cigarettes. I stopped talking to the guys that I was talking to. I stopped talking to everybody in my addiction. I didn't know anybody. I went to Healing House and I got a sponsor. And my sponsor told me the two biggest things that cause relapses are resentments and relationships. She told me, I need you to work your steps and get to step 4 fast. And you can't date anybody for an entire year. And I said, I'm sorry, a year? She said, yeah, do you want me to be your sponsor? And I was like, yeah. So I did that. And I actually did it. I didn't really have anything to offer anybody anyway. So after 6 months... So one of the reasons why I was in liver failure was not only because I was a drug addict, but it was because I had hepatitis C. So after staying clean 6 months, one of the stipulations of Hep C treatments is you have to stay clean for 6 months. You can start doing treatments. And when I went back to get my blood retested, they left me a voicemail and they're like, We have urgent news about your test results. You need to call us back. So I immediately thought, oh my gosh, they found something bad. This is terrible. And when I called them back, they said, we found no trace of hepatitis C in your blood whatsoever. I was thinking it was something else, so praise God, because I didn't have to do any Hep C treatments whatsoever. And if anybody knows this, the liver is the only organ in your body that can heal itself. And I feel like God was telling me, Gabby, do you want to get better? Because it's your choice. It's your choice. And so I just want to talk about how deep God's mercy goes for us. So I was on that Vivitrol shot for 2 years. I was on Fox 4 News for the Vivitrol shot. Working for you, Eric Gossi, Fox 4 working for you right here, baby. And this is how they labeled it. A shot of medicine for heroin addiction helps Metro... Hey, whatever, you know, heroin, woman, whatever. But, hey, I'm proud of that, okay, because I have overcome. I was in a movie with Bobby Joe Reed, Under the Influence, and Bobby Joe Reed has literally saved my life. And if you would ask her, she would say, no, Gabby, you saved your own life. But no, this woman saved my life. So, and Jesus, of course, and Maywood, and a lot of people, but she was a big part of it. And I graduated drug court. I got a plaque with my name on the wall with it. They give one person who they see the biggest change in, they give them a plaque and they put it on the courtroom. And so when I graduated drug court, all of my felonies were dismissed. I've had everything removed off of my record, so I don't have any more felonies from completing drug court. I worked for Jimmy John's for 10 years, and they sent me out to Champaign, Illinois to get a certified. I picked some random Baptist church, right, out in the middle of a cornfield, and the pastor comes over to say hi to me, and so I tell him I'm there for Jimmy John's. You know, I'm only here for this Sunday, and he goes, oh my gosh, the vice president of Jimmy John's goes to this church. So the vice president comes over, and he takes me out to eat with his whole entire family. And then I go back to my training store. I'm like, you guys, I met the vice president. They're like, we've literally never met the vice president of Jimmy John's. And when I became a general manager, he came down to Kansas City and congratulated me on becoming a general manager. And I've won many awards with Jimmy John's. And then so that was pretty cool. After living at Healing House for 5 years, I ended up getting married to my husband, Corey. He's a professional pickleball player. I just want to let you guys know. We have two kids, Callie and Kobe. Callie's a basketball star. She does play basketball, actually. And Kobe, he just started t-ball and soccer. And I went back to school, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I went back to school. And after having our daughter, me and my husband suffered through 7 miscarriages before we had Kobe, so I decided that I wanted to do ultrasound, and I went for radiology. And going to school for me was a little bit hard because I graduated high school with a 2.6 GPA. You know, 2.6, come on. So I graduated high school with maybe a 3rd grade reading level, and I was like 30 years old when I went back to school. So it was like 15 years late, you know. I can't do math anyway, so. You guys get 2.6, you know what I mean. And so I ended up, I wanted to do ultrasound. So the best way to do that is to start in radiology x-ray program. And so I applied for research medical, which is a really hard program to get into. And I knew that I had to outshine in my job shadow, and I did. And in my communications 100 class, I remember one thing my teacher said is she said, people remember the beginning of something and they remember the end of something. So I thought, if I can just get an interview, if I could get the first interview or the last interview, maybe I have a chance, because it's not going to be with my grades. So, and so when they sent me the interview schedule, I was able to be the last interview person at research. And after my interview, I was walking out the door, and the director stopped me and said, Gabby, do you want a spot in this program? And I said, yes, absolutely. And I started crying. And come to find out, they have never given anybody a spot in research like that ever before. And so that was just awesome. So I finished x-ray radiology, and then I decided I wanted to go for nuclear medicine. So I have one more year of school, which starts August 4th. And I applied for some random scholarship, and I ended up getting this scholarship that pays for my whole entire nuclear medicine program. Yeah. Which is crazy, because I can tell you, God was doing miracles 11 years ago, but God continues to do miracles today. It's just like, and to take someone like me who doesn't deserve all of these things, like if you just stick with God, he'll just continue to bless you. So I asked God, I was like, God, I need something good for this sermon. Give me something good for this sermon. So then he put my check engine light on my car. And I was like, that really wasn't what I was expecting to try to, you know, come up with a sermon. But if you're running away from God, like for me, I immediately went and got my car checked and seen what my check engine light was about. But for some of us, we run and run and run until we break down. And if our tire is completely flat, we don't run on the rim of it. We go and get a brand new tire. Luckily, there's nothing wrong with my car, you guys. But today, you know, if I have some problems in my life, there's been times where I call Coach Jake, or there's been times where I call my sponsor. There's times where I have to just cry out to the Lord. Like, just because I tell you all these great things doesn't mean that everything in my life has just been rainbows and butterflies. I just told you some good things to give you some hope. But honestly, my life has been really great because God has walked with me every single step of the way. So don't keep running away from God. If you are struggling, go to Him, because this could save you and your life is definitely worth saving. So today I just want to close a little differently. If you're here today and you have been running away from God and you have a storm in your life and you want to come forward and you want the church to pray for you like they did for me, I want Jake to kind of close us out in that prayer. So I'm going to put James 5:16 up there. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, because the prayers of a righteous person," I'm just kidding, "are powerful and effective." And I just want to thank you guys, and I would just say, come forward and say your struggle, because we all are struggling, honestly. So thank you.
Thank you, Gabby. So come on down, or you can come up here, Jacob, yeah, if you want to. Yeah. Anybody else that wants to come as well? And we're going to give a few minutes. I just want to highlight a couple of things really quick, because Gabby really gave us a gift today, like opening up what Jesus has done in her life. And it's a good example, right, of like it takes all of us to shine like Jesus, right? Like Gabby gave us some stuff today that Jake Taylor could not give to Maywood, right? But I want to highlight, because I think some of us are asking these questions about like, wait, you did this for Gabby and this miracle and this miracle, and I want this miracle, or why didn't I get this miracle? But my guess is nobody in the room was like, I want to stay at the Healing House for 5 years, even though most people are going to stay a lot less long, you know? Like, I bet nobody got bitter at God that you didn't get to stay at a place a lot longer than everybody else around you stayed, right? Or the 7 miscarriages is hard. She said that really quick, right? There's a lot of miracles, but not every single miracle, you know, Gabby would have picked, right? So there's pieces of the story, right, where it's like that line that she shared is so precious, right? All of us don't deserve what God has in store for us, right? But if we will stick with God, He will bless us. Like, that is true, right? And like, that's true for you, it's true for me, it's true for Gabby, right? So I don't want you to just cherry pick. Like, she gave us the real truth of what her life with Jesus has been like, right? So here's what we're gonna do. You guys are all up here for different reasons, but Gabby was quick, right? And we got some time. And Gabby was pretty intense when she was telling me about this. She's like, that verse says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you can be healed. And Gabby said, like, you got a struggle, you can tell it to us and we're gonna pray for you, right? So there's a lot of us, right? But we're a church, right? Gabby's like, she read that verse and she's like, so I want you to pray, Jake. And I was like, I'm not like He-Man spiritually or something, right? You know what I mean? Like, I have to confess to my own 9-year-olds about being a bad dad and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, so like, I'm not perfect, right? But I was like, yes, I'll help, right? I'll help with this part, right? Because we're friends, we're gonna help each other. But us together praying, because of what Jesus has done for us, God does view us as righteous. When we're doing the next right thing with Jesus, our prayers matter, right? And so if you're in a spot right now, or whatever happened yesterday, you're really trying to follow Jesus right now, God's listening to us, right? So I'm gonna pass this mic down the line. You guys don't need to, you can't share your whole story, right? You could do it another time. But if you want to say, here's my struggle, and it could be a single word, it could be a sentence, and then I'm gonna lead us all in a prayer, right? Now, if you're up for sharing your name, we'd love that too. If you're out there today and you're up for it, we got those little notepads. There's never a better time than take some notes right now. And this is not for any purpose, but that so you can pray for these folks this week, right? So if you're up for praying for them this week, write down their name, write down a struggle so you can pray for them, right? Last thing I'm going to say as a group, when people confess, it's a sacred moment, right? May Jesus be these folks' defender, right? So there's no reason to gossip. There's no reason to judge. We're going to treat them like our siblings with Jesus, right? And Jesus cares and honors what they're about to do, right? Now, if you don't want to share with all of us, like, it's totally up to you. You can just pass the mic or just say pass. But if you will, share your name, share a struggle we can pray for you about.
I'm Jacob. I'm an addict. And I just relapsed on my birthday.
My name's Luke. I'm an addict. I just pray for everybody to struggle with drugs addiction, and I pray for all the gentlemen down at the Maple House.
My name is TT. I'm an addict, and I just addiction.
My name's Dewey Nelson. I'm also an addict and struggling just with spiritual. Every day, adult trying to get me, man.
My name's Brandon. I've been struggling with addiction for over 10 years.
My name's Mike, and I'm just rededicating my life to Jesus.
My name's Nicole. I'm praying for my son's father and for myself when he gets out of prison, that we can make a family together with addiction in our past for my son.
My name's Samantha, and I was recently raped, and now I'm with child, so that's what my prayer's for.
My name's Amber, and I need some patience and some courage to step forth to some family and be able to talk about some hard conversations that are really, really hard to do, but...
Hi, I'm Freya. I'm an addict. I've recently been struggling, well, since the beginning of coming to Maywood. I've been struggling to really get into my Bible and committing to the 12-step program.
If you guys will all bow your heads, it's important we pray this together, okay? So I'm going to pray slow. It's important you say this in your heart. Jesus, I know you heard every single person sharing just now. Jesus, I thank you for their courage to get up here and share. Jesus, I thank you for their faith and their hope to come and share that with you. Jesus, we know that everybody the Father has given you, that you never drive them away, that you hold on to them. And so I pray for every struggle that's been brought up and every person that's standing up here right now, Jesus, that you would hold tight to them, hold tight to their children as well, hold tight to everybody connected with them. Jesus, we pray you would set them free from addiction. We pray you would set them free from shame. We pray you would set them free from fear. Jesus, we pray that you would make them into men and women of love who remain in you, and that your perfect love would drive out all fear. Jesus, I thank you that we are a group of people who are sinners that you have set free. We have no righteousness besides you, Jesus. Thank you for being our righteousness. Jesus, we want to live for you. Together, Jesus, we pray all this in your name. Amen.